Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Alfredo Canencia. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Henry Nouwen said, when we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. Our guest today has been sent by God to touch the wounds of people with tender hands as he shares his ever so painful story, but how through that pain and near destruction, Christ has made a difference in his life. When he was 5 years old, he was sexually molested by his older cousin. This went on regularly for 7 years. He'd also been molested beforehand by another family member. He struggled with homosexuality growing up. It was a serious identity crisis, which caused him to be very confused when it came to relationships. Trust was very hard, especially trusting other men. He went through many painful relationships. He dealt with serious matters of lust while in high school. Things got so bad, he slept with his best friend's brother, who was also in a committed relationship. A high school teacher prayed for him. Yeah, prayed for him. Two of his grandparents died within a span of 2 months. And during a season of depression and heartache, he decided to go to church. The pastor spoke about love, and he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. He was a bit skeptical at first, but he got plugged into a small group. His church calls it grace groups, and he remained consistent. Now, this is just the beginning of the story of our featured guest today. And as always, Pastor Alfredo, Pastor Coach, and I, we like to pause at the beginning of our show just to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is to, through the stories that are shared, to connect with you, but more than just connect with you, to connect you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in just whimsical platitudes, but in the depths of pain, like we all experience in our lives from time to time, and some worse than others, at different points in our life. And maybe today is your day to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, just like our guest has done himself. And if you're walking with the Lord, we're strongly believing that this testimony will boost you up, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through at this very time. Remarkably, Maka Ayers was able to forgive his cousin after about 4 months of his decision to follow the Lord Jesus. Christ used him to help two other men who went through a similar situation to process their life with Christ. When he courageously told his parents about the sexual molestation, his father broke down and shared that he also was molested when he was young. He realized it was a generational curse in the family. He's been on a mission trip to Japan, and he's on his way to New Zealand this year. He says his dad is now consistent in his small group. Everyone else in his family is still kind of a work in progress, but he's here in the middle of progress and the process to share his life with us. Maka, welcome to our show.
Hi.
Hey, you know, Maka, one of the things about, one of the things I like about your life is that it's not, you know, about being perfect. It's about progression. And just seeing your life progress over the years and how the Lord has worked in your life, mm-hmm. you know, at a young age, as Danny was covering, you know, you were molested. And how has that sexual molestation affect your identity while growing up?
Well, really, it made it really hard for me to even just make friends when I was younger, you know? Like, when you're in elementary school, it's kind of like, you're expecting, oh, I'm going to have a lot of friends. I'm going to be able to play with a lot of people. And even in like middle school, you always want that that typical, you know, big group of friends you can hang out with, you can trust, you can talk to them about anything. I didn't really have that. You know, it was always a thing where I need to make sure I can trust you before I tell you anything about my life. I need to make sure that you're not going to hurt me. You're not going to use me for your good without me being able to trust you.
Now, here, you're able to express that. Mm-hmm. You're able to eloquently put it into words. A child doesn't have that capacity.
Yeah.
Right? They don't, I mean, they're just living, feeling. I mean, for some, they might think it's normal if that's all they're exposed to. And I guess it's so poignant today to talk about this, because it is rampant.
That's right.
More rampant than we want to admit.
Yeah.
And more rampant than we realize. A lot of people living in the shadows of their own conscience, living in the shadows of their own past, that don't want to bring it to light. So you talk about identity growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Take us further.
Well, I'd say going into, or transitioning out of middle school into high school, there was only one person I really trusted. And it made it really hard for me to do anything outside of my family, outside of school, outside of sports, which I didn't really play too much. But just knowing the things that I went through, and it just made me feel super dirty and just, not to sound cliche, but just like damaged goods, you know? Like, nobody would want me if they found out what I went through, what has already been done to me. For someone to lose their purity in such a way that you have no control over, it's devastating. And from personal experience, it's not something you want to express to people, or it's not something that's easy to tell people about. And because of that, it made it really hard for me to even have conversations with people sometimes.
So, you know, you had that all going on inside of you.
Yeah.
You really didn't share with anyone.
No.
Just kind of, it's all been bottled up inside of mm-hmm. you. This molestation was going on from 7 to 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and you're in intermediate going to high school, and it's all bottled up inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
How did you deal with that? I mean,
a lot of the times was just sitting in my room, or a lot of silence and crying and just thinking of what I can do better to make up for what had happened to me, instead of trying to, you know, bring it out to someone or thinking about even telling anyone. It was always just, what can I do to cover it? What can I do to make it seem like it didn't happen? Or what can I do to make my past not my past, you know? Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
it's kind of, you want to just kind of bury it and
yeah,
get over it.
Yeah. Like the beach ball
right.
Analogy. It's like trying to hold a beach ball under the ocean
yeah.
and sooner or later the air is just going to make it come up.
Mm-hmm.
But right. I was having a hard time keeping that ball under the water.
So, you know, the swell of emotions.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, here we are, Coach. We are trying to put into words
right.
A painful existence for a child to have to go through. The shame involved, the hurt,
yes.
the feelings of victimization.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to look at people, mm-hmm. particularly men, mm-hmm. what kind of thoughts would go in your mind?
Well, usually the first thing, especially when I met a guy that was older than me, I would always be very weary and very cautious, because the first thing that would come to mind is, what if he wants to touch you? What if he wants something from you that you don't want to give to them? And I was never able to trust any adult male in my life until after I gave my life to Christ. But when I looked at men, it became a thing where, why do I have to look at people this way? Why is it me? Why would somebody do that to me? And why does it have to keep reliving in my head whenever I look at another older male? It never had anything to do with them or their looks or what they did. It's just looking at a guy brought back the past. And mm-hmm. just that alone made it really hard for me to just trust other men. And in terms of attraction-wise, it was always, I'm disgusted by you, but at the same time, I'm attracted to you because that was what I was known to first, you know? Mm-hmm. So it came to a point where I had to continually tell myself, you know, just straight up, I'm not gay. I'm not gay. I'm not gay. Just keep telling myself that. And during high school, it got really bad where people assumed that I was. So I got to a point where I was just suicidal and I just wanted to disappear, you know?
Hmm.
I felt like if I were to disappear, people wouldn't have to worry about how I feel and I wouldn't have to worry about what people think of me. So it would be just easier if I was just gone.
You know, when you talk about, like, we want to stop there a little bit, pause for a moment, mm-hmm. because you touched on something that people think about, sadly.
That's right.
They think about it more than we would want anybody ever to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes to people's minds. The feeling, and it may be from a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
It might be through another situation, just of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
When a person is brought to a place where they feel so damaged, they come to that place where they think, if I'm not here,
that's right, yeah,
then, you know, I wouldn't cause anyone pain. I wouldn't suffer. Yeah. I wouldn't have to hurt anymore. And, you know, all would be well.
Mm-hmm.
Things would be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that could not be further from the truth
exactly.
of God's love and redemptive mm-hmm. power in That's the lives right. of people, which is why it's so important that you're here.
Right.
The flip side of which is that is exactly
yes.
how the devil works.
Yeah.
He breaks people down mm-hmm. to the point where they lose all glimmer mm-hmm. of any semblance of reasonable hope
That's right.
in their life. And they feel that the only thing to do
yes.
is to do away with themselves.
Yeah.
The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy.
That's all he wants to do.
And to convince someone or to bring a person to the place where they are themselves convinced.
Yeah.
In the quagmire of their own twisted thinking
mm-hmm.
that they are worthless and better off not here.
Yeah.
It is his plan. It is his his desire.
Yes.
But not God's desire.
Yeah. Right.
Not Amen. Christ's desire. And so, my friend, as you listen today, this is a little different than how we normally start our show. We just jumped right into the the deep part of the swimming pool with Maka Ayers. Because of the subject matter, because of the story of his life. But my dear friend, as you listen today, if you are somewhere within the radius, or perhaps I might say on the threshold of contemplating these dastardly thoughts, he's been sent here by God.
That's right.
And we are here together with you to remind you that it is not the will of God for you to do that.
Yes.
In fact, the opposite. The Lord has a great plan in the midst of all the dirty, slimy, ugly pain.
Yes.
He can make that something beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, and Maka will testify of that more when we come back from our break. This is one of those moments, these stories, as we go deeper and talk about a teacher that reached out to him.
Yes.
A teacher who prayed for him. This guy, his trust is strengthening now.
Yes.
When it comes to other people, when it comes to men. You want to hear how he heard the good news of Jesus Christ and how he responded to God. How the gospel impacted his life to the point where he even forgave the cousin who molested him. In fact, he just saw his cousin recently. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. We'll be back.
Amazing. Desperate life.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Poly Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life. Becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at the goodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, the Bible is replete when it comes to judgment, judging people, doing just kind of a broad stroke on somebody, maybe by the way they look or the way they talk or how they are. And I think we all have a point of concern, all of us, because we can all be judgmental. But none of us, none of us likes to be judged because we feel that there is some semblance of injustice that exists there when somebody is judging me or judging you. But we very easily would do that to someone else. But you know, there is much more depth in the lives of people than we actually realize. And many of us, myself included, we don't take the time to get to know who a person actually is. And sadly to say, when you get to know people, you realize that they are of a lot more substance than you might have realized. And here's another thing. They've been through a lot more than you would have ever thought. To be who they are, sometimes I think it takes so much courage just to stay alive, just to live another day, to wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to have the guts to live this next day. It's a marvelous thing. And to see someone strengthened by the grace of God. Well, anyway, that's the story of our guest today. Maka Ayers is sitting in studio with us, along with my co-host, Pastor Alfredo Canencia. And we're so glad you're with us. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. And if you're tuning in right now, we're talking about someone who was molested many times for years as a child. And who has experienced the aftermath of it. But through Jesus Christ, his life has been healed. You want to get this podcast, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get it, listen to it, share it with friends, family. Use it as a tool to reach people that you know and love.
Hey, Maka, you were just talking about how, you know, as you were in that time of your life in high school, mm-hmm. kind of going through an identity crisis yeah. and having thoughts of maybe, you know, even suicidal thoughts. Now, there was a teacher that really reached out to you.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing about it was it was in a science class.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I had this teacher. His name was Ben Yamashiro. And I had him for 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year. And he taught biology and chemistry to us, and I think it was maybe midway through my freshman year, we were attending Grace Bible Church at the time, and I saw him. He was part of the worship team at Grace Bible Church, and I saw him on stage almost every week, and go back to school the next day, Monday. Oh, mister, I saw you on stage. He's like, yeah, I saw you in the congregation. That's good. And I would say close to the end of freshman year, he told me one day he's praying for me. Like, he just flat out told me, like, oh, Maka, I'm praying for you. You know, I'm praying that you're come to know Jesus. I'm praying that you're okay, that your family's okay. And I walked out of the classroom. And I was like, oh, okay, mister, thanks. Like, just kind of brushing it off. But as I walked away, I was really shocked because, first of all, he's a science teacher. He's teaching, you know, evolution. And kind of goes against everything that he's praying to a God that he's teaching against. And that was kind of weird to me. But the other thing was that he doesn't even know me.
That's right.
And he's praying for me. He doesn't know what I've been through. He doesn't know who I am on the inside. And he can just flat out come out and tell me that he's praying for me. And it really, I think that was when God planted the seed to bring me back to him, or to bring me to him, bring me closer to Jesus.
Now, this went on for a while. It wasn't just a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark, I'm praying for you. But it went on for a while. So every time mm-hmm. he shared that with you, could you sense that something was happening to you?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. After that, I kind of actually started, you know, having conversations with him. Like going to his classroom during recess or during lunch, like skipping out on lunch just to hang out with him, whatever. And he would always tell me, oh, I'm praying for you, or like, oh, you want to download worship music from my computer, you know, like just doing anything he could to get God into my life. And it came to a point where I was pretty much in his classroom every day. And I guess it was the beginning of when I learned how to trust again, you know, really, like, I was actually able to trust a man that was older than me, because he made me feel safe. And it was all because of the love of God that he showed through himself, through prayer, through just listening to me, like when I had something to say, and not overstepping any boundaries, you know?
Maka, along these lines, as you know, your teacher, Mr. Yamashiro, mm-hmm. was, I guess you just call him Mr., yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was reaching out to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. What was going on at home? What was home life like?
Home life was chores and either go outside and play or you stay home and you do nothing. And for me, it was, I didn't really have anything to cope with my problems except for video games. So I would just stay home and play video games all the time. Mm. And on Sundays, my mom would make us go to church. So I didn't really have a say in it. And it was kind of hard because my mom's parents, from the ending of middle school to the beginning of high school, we had to take care of my mom's parents because they were both disabled. So me and my cousin had to share a room, and my other cousin.
Same cousin.
Yeah. And then my other cousin, she slept in the living room. So we had to basically come home from school every day, take care of my grandparents, and then we could do whatever was allowed for us to do. Go outside and play or go hang out with our friends, whatever.
Yeah, I want to bring that in because at some point you began to share what happened in the earlier years. Mm-hmm. And how that impacted your family. But there was something else that took place in between that, because you're on your way, the seed of the gospel has been planted in your mm-hmm. heart, and it's beginning to grow. But between the growth process and then you're actually making a decision, mm-hmm. things began to happen. So how would you describe the working of God in your life leading up to the place where you said, Lord, I surrender to you?
Definitely being forced to go to church still has some good qualities to it. Like, you're still getting the word of God into you.
Even if you're forced with right. the headlight.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Sometimes it's really good to be forced.
Yeah. And it was during a season where the pastor who was preaching, he just continually preached about God's love and forgiveness and the difference between forgiveness and condoning things. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until about right after graduation, going into college, both of my grandmothers had passed away. My mom's mom, she was being taken care of by a nurse, and she went into a food land. And she wanted a donut. So she ended up eating her donut while still in Foodland. And she ended up choking on it. And her nurse, who, by the way, we have no blame towards or any bitterness towards, before I say this, she actually left my grandmother in her wheelchair to go look for help instead of what we would assume would be CPR. Mm-hmm. It was for more than 10 minutes, and my grandma suffered brain damage, massive brain damage, and she went into a coma for 2 or 3 weeks. She ended up passing on her birthday. And at the same time, my dad's mom, who was in California, was battling cancer. And about a month after my mom's mom passed, my dad's mom passed. She lost her battle to cancer, and my family was just distraught. Mm-hmm. Major depression.
Understandably so.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like there was love in our home anymore. Like, it didn't feel like a home. It felt just like a place where people came and just slept and eat, and that's it.
Mm. Coach, the backdrop of the family situation really sets the tone of the grim reality of where things were at that time.
And that's why sometimes, young people look for escape of getting to a place where there's hope and encouragement. So you connecting, you know, even like with your teacher was a place of a glimmer of hope that would kind of bring encouragement, because when you would go home, it was difficult to deal with. Yeah. And I think in that process, you had some friends also coming around you to start, you know, building relationship with you that helped you on this journey. You know, I just know of just of life and dealing with people, you never can get through these situations by yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the teacher was one of the ones that opened it up, but there were other people coming along. And even though you're battling going home and not feeling the encouragement or hope, and more of the hopelessness there, God was somehow entering your life through some other relationships to bring you on this journey so you can get restored in your life.
There are times when people may feel like going home is like going into a vacuum that just sucks the life out of you.
Exactly.
And you look for other places or other, maybe even other people, like you're sharing,
right.
Other people that can somehow help in the almost like a decompression chamber of a relationship to create another form of oxygen moving in your own life so that you can think, relate, live. And it seems like these people were brought to you at that time. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, more with Maka Ayers, sharing the process from a childhood of molestation, working through it as a teen in high school, a teacher reaching out, praying consistently, words of encouragement, words of hope, others coming around. When two grandmas die within the course of basically like 2 months, and the life is sort of sucked out of the family, well, God comes and brings hope into Maka Ayers' life. You'll hear more when we come back. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us now.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Poly Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life, becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hear me calling.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Now, nothing is quite as refreshing ever than coming to a place when you realize that there is hope like you've never known before, like you could never have never thought of or ever imagined. Well, whenever a church celebrates Resurrection Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, well, there it is. I mean, that's it. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's right.
That Christ rose again from the grave.
Yes.
The living Christ conquered sin, death, hell, and any other despicable filth
yes.
that we have ever been involved with or involved in. And there is newness of life, a new beginning. Well, that's the story of our featured guest today,
yes.
Maka Ayres. He's a testimony
yeah.
of the resurrection of Jesus Christ
yeah.
in his own life. He's able to share that. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm here with my co-host and my dear friend, Pastor Alfredo Canencia. And I'm so glad you're with us today. You can get this podcast and other programs at thegoodlifehawaii.com. We've got all kinds of resources for you there. You want to check that out. And a free book. Free book. You can download it as an ebook for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
You know, Maka, we were just talking about how, you know, at home you were experiencing some real, you know, hopelessness. And mm-hmm. you meet a teacher that reaches out to you. Mm-hmm. And you got some other people encouraging you. But at some point you had to come into an encounter with Christ
yeah.
and really experience his love. You know, like we're talking on the break that, you know, Jesus is a man. And how, you know, you have come to a place of encountering him and trusting him. Tell us about that.
So right after, I'd say about 2 weeks after my dad's mom passed, so both of my grandmas had just passed, I just started remembering all the things that was delivered, all the messages that were delivered during that season where we were being quote unquote forced to go to church. And I just thought, you know, this is it. This is what Pastor Billy was talking about all those times. You know, this is that rock bottom that sometimes it takes for God to call people to him. And I just thought, man, I need to go to church. I need God, not just for me, but for my family. And I went that Sunday. It was in January 2011. And I went. Pastor Billy once again spoke about forgiveness and love. And I just broke down. I couldn't take it. God's love was so overwhelming in that moment that I just broke down. And as soon as he said, raise your hands, I was, whoa, my hand just went straight up.
Mm.
And immediately they had everybody who said the salvation prayer go outside so they could get connected to a small group. And I did. And the Thursday after, I went straight to small group and I encountered Jesus again in the grace group. And since then, it's just through prayer, people praying for me, like laying hands, people just listening to my story and my testimony, and just God being able to work through me that I never thought would happen. It was just, you can't explain. We can't understand God's love, how strong it is, how powerful it is.
Yeah, you were sharing how, you know, earlier you felt during that season of molestation, and as mm-hmm. you were growing into high school, you felt dirty. You felt like damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you encountered Christ, did you feel something different?
The night that I gave my life to Christ, it was so freeing. It was like, I guess I could compare it to like a good shower. Like, you just feel so clean and so refreshed about everything. So after about 4 months of walking with Jesus, he, by the grace of God, I was able to forgive my cousin, because, you know, God first forgave us when he sent his son. And it was through that I was able to forgive my cousin for molesting me. It was not.
How did that happen? I mean, describe for us the process of forgiving your cousin. I mean, mm-hmm. we could say it in less than 5 seconds that you forgave your cousin.
Yeah. That's true.
But this is years of just
emotional pent up inside of you. Yeah.
How did that happen?
It was a process. I had to bring it to light first. I met with my grace group leader one time, and I opened up about it, and he didn't really know how to respond to it because he never dealt with anybody else with that problem before. And we just sat and we processed and we prayed for a good like 15 minutes afterwards. And I just felt God telling me, you know, you have to forgive him. He doesn't know. And that was recently after I found out the same thing was done to him. So just that much more, it was not his fault. It's the enemy's fault. It's not his fault.
So as a, I just want to make sure I got this very clear. So when he was young,
mm-hmm.
he was also being molested by someone else.
Yes.
And then he did what he did to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
As it was happening to him. So mm-hmm. you're beginning to see a connection, a chain reaction.
Right.
And in the meantime, the Lord is working in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a compassion that from Christ.
Yes.
For you have for your cousin that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
So as you were going through the process of really forgiving him, now was that difficult? Because there's a lot of emotions that are just kind of bottled up inside mm-hmm. of you. How was that process of releasing that?
I actually had a really hard time just saying the words. Just, I forgive him. Mm-hmm. There was a time, or there was a day where I was just praying, God, help me forgive him. Help me to be able to say the words, you know, I forgive him for doing what he did to me. I want to be able to see him, like, look him in. It was so bad before where I couldn't even look him in the eye. I didn't even want to be around him. And I remember Coach actually preached a message one time how when we forgive people, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. And we just have to continually tell ourselves that we forgive them. We have to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. And through that, we'll be able to forgive them. And after that, I just continually, through the grace of God, was able to continually, you know, say the words, I forgive you, I forgive you. And as I kept practicing that, it came to fruition into my heart. And God just changed me for the better. I can actually look him in the eye now. I can talk with him. I can shake his hand. It's amazing the change that came along with it.
Awesome.
Such is the power of Christ.
Yeah.
In the life of someone. It's not a, when we talk about the power of Christ, it's not the sort of eliciting some external force that is some cosmic force that is very impersonal out there that you conjure up, whether you're chanting incantations or, you know, you go through whatever, you know, kind of thing you do to you know, get this thing to happen. You have come, Maka, into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say it again. It is possible for the life-changing power of Almighty God to be experienced in your life in unimaginable ways when you come just as you are.
That's right. Just as you are.
To Jesus Christ. just as you are,
yeah,
to Christ. Come to know Him. Receive His love. Know that His arms are outstretched for you, that He loves you and He knows you. And whatever you're going through, whatever you've done, it doesn't matter. You just come to Christ. Christ can give you a new beginning because He died on the cross for your sins.
Yes.
Shed His blood on that. The precious blood of Jesus was shed on that cross for you and for me. And He is alive, calling you to Himself today. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about not only the power of forgiveness, but the power of healing in an individual's life, but the power of healing that can take place in a family. Have you ever experienced brokenness? My friend, I have too.
Yeah.
My guest today, Maka, my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, we all of us have been broken. All of us have needed the grace of God.
Yes.
You're not alone. As much as we need the love of the Lord, you may need the love of the Lord, it's available to you. When we come back, you'll hear more from Maka Air. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Pali Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life, becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at the goodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
For years, for decades, the great evangelist Billy Graham would preach the gospel in these huge stadiums all across the world. And always when he would give the invitation, the choir would stand up and they would sing the song, Just As I Am, yeah, without one plea. And he talks about coming to Christ, yes, just as you are. And then, you know, lately the evangelist Greg Laurie, I remember hearing him, he would invite Crystal Lewis to sing Come as just you as you are.
Yeah.
Hear the Spirit call. And sometimes we think, oh, I got to get my act together. Let me fix myself. Then I would be ready to come to Jesus. But that is far from, not only far from what you need to do, far from what you and I are able to do. That's we can't right. fix we it cannot. All. Yeah. And Maka Ayers shares a story of pain and suffering and sin and the need for Christ, and he came just as he is.
Yes.
And the Lord did a mighty work. You can find out more about this at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You hear him talk about Pastor Billy Lyle.
Yes, right.
He's a fantastic communicator of the Word of God there at Grace Bible Church. You find out about Grace Bible Church at gbchawaii.org. gbchawaii.org.
You know, Maka, as you're going through this whole process with the Lord and forgiving your cousin, mm-hmm. now you had the courage because you realized you wanted to bring it and to share it with your mom and your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that must have been a very defining moment, a God moment in your family.
Definitely.
Because the results of that, you know, you'll have been seeing how God blessed it. But tell us a little bit about that, because God is always about blessing the home. He wants to, you know, reveal himself to everyone in the home. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, recently, about 4 months ago, I'd say, it was really weighing down on my heart to tell my parents about everything that happened. And I was praying in my room one day, and the Holy Spirit just told me, you know, you need to go tell them. You need to tell them what happened. You need to bring it to the light, because there's still healing that needs to come to you, and there's still healing that needs to come to this family.
Mm.
So I sat in my room after that for 10 minutes, scared to death, because I didn't know what to expect from them. And I walked right in there. I sat on their bed and I said, this is what happened. And I'm thankful that you still love me for it. And my dad broke down. And he confessed that the same thing had happened to him. I think he told me it was someone who was very close to his mom who had molested him. And he told me how he pleaded and he begged that his children wouldn't have to go through the same thing. And that he hadn't told anyone within like 30 years from before that day that he told me about it. And I could tell after he was done weeping and crying that it was a freeing moment for him.
Mm.
He just, because of God's grace, I was able to tell him about it. And through that, he was able to confess and be freed through him confessing. And I just can't explain how amazingly different he is now. He seems so much happier now that he's able to express it and say it freely. And he grew up in church, but he's still kind of transitioning into like grace group and commitment and stuff. So, but it's amazing the freeness that I see in him now, that Jesus has really made him freer than he was before.
I think about the freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that is compressed inside of us.
Yeah.
And we just push it down. I mean, you know, it's like anybody goes to the kitchen trash can. You know, we always do I still do it. I still do the compression technique because I don't want to take it out.
That's right.
So you push it down a little bit more to create space and say, hey, it's not in, but we compress like a trash compactor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We push it down to the point where it becomes like a solid waste.
Yeah.
And it's never dealt with until we experience the kind of freedom and healing that you experience.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible say, confess your sins to another, one to another, that you may be what?
Healed.
That you may be healed.
Yeah.
Oh, to be able to share, to confess. I can sense, Maka, because you have freely opened up,
mm-hmm.
that there is a kind of like a safe place for people to share with you.
Mm.
Even with Dad. Yeah. Felt safe to share. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, Coach? Transparency allows deeper trust and greater transparency. And yet, creating an image because of shame just makes people more shame, more insecure.
Yeah.
And really, we just get more weird
as
we go along.
Yeah.
That's the power of this testimony and the power of Christ's life. Marco, what would you say to someone? We've got just a few minutes left, a couple minutes left. What would you say to somebody who's going through a struggle right now? It could be an area of molestation. It could be some other general struggle. But what would you say?
Come to Jesus. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more sure than the love of Christ. If you feel like you have to deal with it on your own, you don't. It's already been dealt with on the cross. Jesus took it all for you, and there's nowhere else to go but God, to Jesus.
Marco, we got about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for that person right now, our dear friend.
God, I thank you for their lives. God, I thank you that they are listening right now, and that through this radio show, God, you're giving them the authority and the power and the courage to confess, God, to someone else. And God, to be healed by the blood of your Son that was shed on the cross. Thank you so much for their healing that's coming their way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Maka, thank you for your graciousness and your grand gesture of generosity in being here today.
Thank you for
having me. To open
up
your life like that. Yeah. And Coach, it's always a blessing to partner together with you in ministry.
It's a privilege to be here, Daddy, and I'm just milking in the moment, just like you over here.
It's incredible when God gives a man freedom, freedom in Christ to live the life that you have been destined to live.
Mm.
And more than that, now you're impacting a dear listener at this very moment. In the next few days, you're going to hear stories, inspirational ones, like the one you just heard, of hope and faith. And, you know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. I encourage you, invite you, thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this program and others. Go ahead and share it with your friends and family. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Maka Ayers. Until next time, along with my co-host Alfredo Canencia and our technical producer Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.